Hey everybody, welcome to In and Out of Character, a role players podcast where I, Mr. Island, talk to role players of all kinds. Today, we are talking with Connor, who came to me about trans role playing. We also talked about role playing partners. I give you a little bit of a mukbang ASMR. We talk about how we introduce ourselves as role players to other people. And at the very end, we make a Sonic OC. So, enjoy that. Hi, I'm Mr. Island. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. I'm Connor, but I go by many different aliases online.
Do you prefer Connor here, or do you want to go by something else?
No, Connor's fine.
All right, Connor. Well, welcome to a podcast about role-playing, which is really weird. It's a very strange hobby.
Whenever I have to, like, when people ask, like, what's your main hobby, I'm kind of like, oh, I like draw, because, like, how do you explain role-playing to someone who's never heard of it before? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I legitimately was thinking about this other day, right? Because I do not date people. I don't want to date people. But I was thinking to myself, because someone had expressed interest, and I was like, how do I tell this person that my favorite hobby in the whole wide world is role-playing? Like, do I make it sound magical? Like, oh, I love cooperative storytelling. Or do I be like, oh, I just like D&D or something like that? Like, because, you know, that when people think about role-playing, they often think about Dungeons and Dragons, right? So, oh, I like D&D, you know, Pathfinder and stuff like that. But that's not the truth of it. I like role-playing in MMOs.
For real, like, how do I say, oh yeah, I spent like 2 years playing Svator, fucking, like, yeah, pretending to be a Twi'lek online, like.
Yeah, like, there's no honest way of being, there's no good way of doing it, it sucks.
I think, honestly, I've found a really, like, I kind of do a blend of both. I always describe it as, like improv if it was easy, because you're, like, leaning on another person to do it. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I think a lot of it is improv. So I always say, like, oh, just, like, imagine like yes anding with someone for like months at a time, and they're like, oh right, okay, that sounds really fun. Mm-hmm. Because like a lot of the role play that I do, going back in the day, I used to like role play in like DeviantArt DMs and like doing Warrior Cats role plays on like forums and stuff like that. So it's definitely snowballed into like, you know, I do sort of like really long term like text based role play where like you write a few paragraphs and the next person writes a few paragraphs. And I think yes anding is the best way to describe the style of role play that I do, because like 99% of it is improv. You just kind of like find your story beats and then just kind of like play out the meat in between. And like I just very recently sort of not came out about my holiday, but started being more upfront about it.
Me too, actually, because it's like since I've been trying to do this thing, I'm at that point where I'm like, man, I might as well just be honest about it instead of trying to get around it.
And it's surprising how cool people are about it. Like, everyone in my life, obviously I've not told my parents, because how the fuck do you explain that? But, like, everybody else, like, you know, my boyfriend, my little sister, my flatmate, like, my other friends, like, they've all been like, oh my god, I actually really want to try. Like, I'm actually writing, after this call, I'm writing a starter for my flatmate to roleplay for the first time with them, because I've, like, sucked them into the hobby. Like, they're that interested.
Oh, cool. Are they going to do a tabletop, or is it going to be like a forum or a post-to-post type thing?
It's going to be post-to-post. So they're writing kind of like a spin-off fic of like a TV show that they really like. And I'm, funnily enough, we're also flatmates in that universe. So we're just going to sort of be like playing out. I think we should play out the time that our characters first met. I think that'd be a fun little like starting point. But I'm also half tempted to just like toss him into the deep end with the trauma, because that's always very fun. But yeah, so I'm really excited that I'm actually getting to like bring my best friend into this hobby as well, because like there's not many people I've managed to like convert into this hobby. It's not often that you tell someone about role playing, they're like, I want to try. So I think that's a really exciting new thing to try with them for sure.
Because it really is just such a strange, maybe I shouldn't say strange hobby in general, but it is in like the context of like all the other things that you could be doing with your life, right? It is a pretty odd thing to want to just sit down for a moment and do storytelling with other people. And
absolutely.
It's, how do I put this? It's like,
The way I think about it is like, there, way back when, people used to gather around the fires and tell stories, right? Or at least that's what we're told used to happen. Mm-hmm. And essentially, we're doing the same thing, but we don't have to do that anymore because normally the stories come from the television or mm-hmm. the radio or your favorite awesome story podcast, whatever, right? But now there's this rising, like this continuous rise of people who are interested in not only just listening to other people's role-playing podcasts Critical Role, shout out to Roleplay Rejects, my best friends, all them out there, right? And it's kind of cool to see a community come around that. I don't know, am I making any sort of sense right now?
Yes, you absolutely are making sense. I totally relate to that. Like, yeah, it is, like, circling back, I think it is a strange hobby, to be quite honest.
It definitely is.
Like, it's, I'm so sorry. My mum is trying to get in contact with me right now.
Go right ahead.
And I'm so sorry. I will literally be right back. Give me like 5 minutes.
No, it's okay. I'm going to eat my sausage, egg, and cheese tacos.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Okay, I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Mr. Island's mukbang ASMR while we're waiting. I did not intend for this to happen, but here we are. And I think I'm going to add this to the episode. I have a sausage, egg, and cheese. I did say taco earlier. They're actually sausage, egg, and cheese hash brown burritos. Thank you very much. I make about 8 of them every week. One to eat at the moment after I get done making them, and then I take them and I wrap them up in tinfoil individually. And instead of spending like, I don't know, $6, $7, $8 on small burritos at Walmart that are frozen, I have a bunch of big, nice, properly made sausage, egg, and cheese burritos with whatever else I want them for the morning. And I don't know about you guys who are listening to this right now, but having that ritual of waking up and grabbing a cup of coffee and putting a burrito in the, you know, in the toaster oven, or unwrapping it and putting it in the microwave because sometimes I run a little late, it has started to have like a big meaning to me. So what I'm trying to say is make your own food. God damn it. Stop ordering DoorDash. All right. Delete that app from your phone because it is heretical. It's not heretical. It's not. If you want to DoorDash something, you're good. But I'm going to take another bite. I'm hungry.
Okay, I am back. Sorry about that. My family was like, oh, it's urgent. Please get in contact. And they're like, okay, so we're booking Disney right now.
They're what now?
They're booking Disney. And they were like, oh,
Disney.
Yeah, they were like, oh, you know, we really need your attention right now. It's urgent. Please pick up. The one time I'm in the middle of something. Anyway, so yes, I do think that not only is roleplay a strange hobby, but I also think that, I think especially when you're a writer, a part of you does yearn to gather the metaphorical fire and tell stories and whatnot. And I think actually stories can come out as a lot more impactful when you're doing it with another person. Mm-hmm. Like, I love having a story between two characters and then you actually have another brain to work off of, and they come up with ideas that you wouldn't have even ever thought of or considered. And like, the amount of times I've been role playing with someone and they've like actively changed my character's lore because I've been like, that's a good idea, I'm stealing it. It's honestly, like, I have a role play partner that's pretty long term at the moment. We've been going for about 3 months, mm-hmm. and she's fucking awesome. Shout out to Trish, I love you, girl. Please never stop writing with me.
Man, I feel that so much. Like, I feel that deep in my soul where you got like good roleplay friends and they're like turning out some like really nice, elegant, just awesome mm-hmm. paragraphs, and you're like, God, I love this, and you're just like, please never let this end.
Literally, like I will track your IP address. Do not get me wrong.
Real quick to the audience, please do not track me my IP. Oh,
that's slash silly audience. That is a joke, I promise. But Triss is fucking awesome. We've she will actually come up later when I sort of get into the topics of what I want to bring up today. But she has been such a healing experience for roleplay for me recently. And like some of the ideas that she's come up with, because like we both love vampires, but her interest goes way, like, I'm new to the vampire train, right? I'm like a noob at this. So like she's been into vampires for ages and ages, and like some of the things that she's come up with, not only for her character but also for mine, has just been like so awesome. Like, I think, because it's going to sound really cheesy, but I think especially when you do post by post roleplay or like D&D roleplay especially, I think your writing changes the more roleplay partners you have, because we end up becoming like these little mosaics of all the people we've written with. Like, I think we take little parts of them with us in our writing journeys.
Right.
And I think that's just a really beautiful part of writing for me. And I feel like I'm yapping at the moment. Sorry. I'm like,
no, yap away. That is what this podcast is for. Please yap away. So if you don't mind me asking, really quick, would you like to continue? You mind if I change the subject really quick?
No, go right ahead.
I'm really curious, how did you yourself get into roleplay?
Oh God, that's a loaded question. I've been roleplaying online since I was about 12, because just add two little sparkle emojis on the bit of the sentence. Unmoderated internet access. So when I first started role-playing, I was, oh God, this is so cringe, I was a Invader Zim fandom role-player.
Hell yeah, Invader Zim. I haven't heard that one yet, but I appreciate it. Let me tell you what.
Been a long time since I heard that name, but I was a diehard Invader Zim fan. Like, you know, I remember when my, like, stepdad gave me my first laptop, and he, like, pirated all the seasons for me and put it on my laptop for me to watch whenever we didn't have internet. So shout out to Davey. Love you for that. But I started doing roleplay on DeviantArt because I was drawing these really cringe Invader Zim fan arts, and I just sort of, like, someone came into my DMs and ended up being a mutual, not knowing I was 12, so I forgive them. But they were like, have you ever done, like, fanfic writing before? And I had dabbled, you know, it wasn't great, but I'd certainly dabbled. And it just sort of snowballed from there. And then I didn't really have a name for the hobby that I had until I was about 14, 15, you know, flashback to, like, the Kick Messenger days and, like, early Reddit and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, not early Reddit, but like early 2010s Reddit. I started, like, because I know that there's, I don't know if you've ever kind of stumbled across these, but there's a lot of subreddits that, so it's sort of like Craigslist for roleplay, where you just sort of like put an ad out and say, like, this is how old I am, this is like the fandom I'm part of, or like this is the idea I have, you know, if anyone's interested, DM me. And that has sort of been like my main way of roleplay ever since.
Really?
Yeah, like I have the unfortunate hobby of being a Reddit role player.
I think that's a pretty smart way to do it if you're comfortable doing that. Obviously, if you're not,
of course,
currently 18, please maybe don't do that. Find other ways of role playing, but
yeah, absolutely. Maybe, you know, Amino's more your speed.
Oh God, Amino.
Oh, actually, yeah, to be fair, I take that back. Don't go to Amino if you're a minor listening to this. Absolutely, don't fucking go there.
You're not good at Amino, please, for the love of God.
Oh God, I just Men in Black flashbang myself with, like, all of the fucking, like, Amino controversy that I'd forgotten about until this very second.
Yeah, I had made one Amino account using the core role players guild stuff, because I wanted to go out and talk to... I wanted to find more role players to talk to. And when I got on there, I realized that that was not a good idea.
Absolutely not.
So, like, because I had applied to, like, two different things. I think I applied to, like, a World of Warcraft one and maybe a Final Fantasy one, possibly. But, like, I put in the applications, and then I had heard, like, about all this shit from Amino. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. But anyways, continue.
With Reddit roleplay and stuff, it is a very efficient way to find roleplay partners, but I would also say that, like, 95% of it is just, like, absolute waste of time. And actually, it's so interesting that you got in contact with me to do this podcast when you did, because when I applied for this podcast, I was in, like, the height of my, like, Reddit roleplay days. Like, I was unemployed, didn't really have much going on for me. Like, all I did was roleplay. And I think because what I want to talk about today, you know, the experiences of trans people in roleplay spaces.
Right.
I think that Reddit is an absolutely horrendous culprit for like making trans people extremely uncomfortable trying to roleplay with other people. Because it's Reddit. That's what it's for. People, there's loads of like, and I hate to sound mean, but freaks on there. And I would very innocently go on trying to, because a lot of the characters I roleplay are trans as well, because there's, I mean, fuck, the representation for us is minimal in mainstream media. So, you know, we got to pull our own weight sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that you've gotten in contact with me now, because like this roleplay with Triss that I'm doing, this the person that I mentioned, has been like so healing for playing a trans character that like I'm like having to remind myself of all the fucking anger that I felt when I first like applied for this podcast. But I would say that Reddit is a very interesting place when it comes to being a trans person trying to find characters to roleplay with, because I think they use it as an excuse to like ask all of the shitty questions that they can't be asked like Googling. If that makes sense. Like they use your character as like a sounding board. So the amount of times that like I've started a scene and then my character, like, you know, I'll write a starter and then the first thing that the other character says to mine is, so like, what are you? Like, are you a boy or a girl? And it's like, we're in the middle of trying to crack a code for a heist right now, and you're asking what was between my fucking legs? Walk in right now.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's honestly, and like, because the whole point of role playing for me was to, especially at the time, because like I didn't pass very well. So like now, you know, I've got like a beard, and you know, like my voice is a little bit deeper than it used to be. So like I don't get misgendered in public at all anymore. But at the time, I was role playing to escape that, and so I was just going from one shitty reality into the other. Like I think role play is like the ultimate escapism. So when you're trying to escape from such a shit reality and be someone else and be someone that you feel more comfortable being, and then it's like the shit that you deal with in your real life just follows you into this hobby, and it's really, really frustrating. It's so difficult to find people who are cool about trans characters. Like, I don't know how into Star Wars you are. I don't know how familiar you are with it.
Let's say I am, for the sake of argument, let's say I am just a little bit, not quite an expert, but at least know things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't know. So basically the fandom is, they're very, very strict about lore. Like they, like you have people who are fun and then you have people who only care about lore and there's no in between. Yeah. So for the longest time, actually, I was just strictly a Star Wars role player. I had this character who was a Twi'lek called Cid Azul, and they're like my magnum opus. Like, I care them so much. I literally have commissioned like physical merch of them because I love them so much. I literally have like a patch on my corkboard right now of them.
That is so much dedication, and I'm here for it.
For real. They're like a 5-year-old character now. They were born from like the COVID-19 pandemic boredom. And it's been history ever since. And they're like my favorite character. And people really love to claim that transness can't exist in Star Wars. And I'm like, you're talking about the entire fucking universe, and you're saying to me that transgender people don't exist in an entire universe?
I don't understand that concept, because if we can have a fish that transitions, we can, what the fuck do you mean trans people wouldn't exist in Star? What the fuck kind of stupid I'm sorry, I'm getting angry. I shouldn't be getting angry.
No, but you're so right, because people do that, and what I hate that even more, that concept, is when people do it in D&D, right? And they're like, oh, trans people can't exist in D&D. Make a spell, forehead. What are you talking about?
Dude, if I'm sorry. I'm
literally make a spell.
I feel like I'm about to pass out of my chair. I'm sorry. I'm a little annoyed by that. Like, it's just so I don't fucking understand that logic. There is so much that could possibly happen in these fucking universes.
Yeah.
And you're like, trans people, though? Like, what the fuck kind of logic is that?
Like, there's much fucking bigger fish to fry. Like, especially given that, like, I think that sci-fi and fantasy are some of the most flexible genres that we have to write in.
Yeah.
And you're going to be that limiting. So, like, there's like, dude, my character has robot legs and you're telling me that they can't be transgender. Come on.
I was about to say, like, this can either be one of fucking three things, right? This could be either that you believe, if you believe trans people couldn't exist in Star Wars, you believe that it could never have happened evolutionary, right? Evolutionarily with any other race, animal, species out there. You believe that no one would have thought to transition themselves and never made the technology to do that, which is really fucking stupid. Or three, you think that, oh, God, this one actually, I think, infuriates me more. I'm sorry. I might actually have to, let me sip my coffee. Hold on.
Yeah, wet the whistle. Get ready.
It's like, okay, so we have the, you would have to have sat there and said that no race in the whole universe of Star Wars would have been culturally accepting of trans of people who transitioned.
Exactly.
And at that, like, I'm sorry, those three things, like the odds of those three things ever fucking happening
are slim to none.
Like practically non-existent. Like, what kind of logic is to sit there and say, like, one of these three things prevented, or like all three of these things prevented people from wanting? I'm sorry. I'm getting angry.
No, you're so right to be angry though, because like this subject has actually almost made me like give up writing entirely. So like I'm glad that you're getting pissed off about it, because like I've spent so long like wasting energy on being angry about it. Because it's been my reality for this entire hobby. And like now that I have, because online I tend to go by Sid, or now it's Sai because of my current character, Cyrith, who, sweet angel baby, I will bring you up soon. But it's, and especially with sci-fi, especially, that pisses me off when people say, oh, like trans people can't exist. Like, just make something up. Be creative, man. Like, I literally, my character, so they have, their legs are severed from like the knee down, but they still have like their thighs, and a common place to get hormones injected is your thighs. So I was like, oh, what might be cool is they just have like a little like metal cybernetic dispenser that just does the hormones for them. They just have to put the canister in. And like, I think that's not only creative, but also fucking feasible in the universe, because it's just a little like, it's like a disc tray, but tray built into your leg. And like, if you can have robot legs, I think they can also do that as well.
Yeah. And it's not like at the end of the day, like all your character is just a character who is trans. Like that's not
exactly
the theme of, that's not the theme of your character. That's just a part of your character. Like,
my character is, like, a fucking freedom-fighting rebel that's trying to bring down the Hutt cartel, and all you care about is, like, what they were born as? Like, come on. It's honestly, it's a really, really frustrating, like, problem to deal with in a hobby. Especially when it's a hobby where you're, again, like I mentioned, when you're trying to, like, escape from that part of your life. And this is why I think it's kind of poetic that I applied for this podcast when I did, and it's only now that you've gotten back in contact with me, because now I'm in, like, living my best life with roleplay because of my current roleplay partner Triss. Her character has been awesome for like healing my anger towards like you know how people have treated my characters in the past, because like I remember early on in the roleplay, so I kind of took a leap with this one. So this roleplay is about a mortal and a vampire falling in love. I know, totally never been done before. But the thing about it was that my character hadn't transitioned at all. Like, they hadn't actually told anyone what they were feeling, because they came from this really sort of deeply religious, sort of oppressed town. Which the country that they're from is also very heavily based on like medieval Scotland as well. So like, it's also set during ish the time where the English started to invade. And so these English bishops came up to this pagan town and like basically wiped out the original religion. And basically said like, thou shall not think about sex and will marry a man. And my character was like, fuck that. And so they went off to go and find this vampire, because the bishops were essentially letting this like blight destroy the town. So like, you know, crops were dying, livestock were like being driven mad with like poisoned meat and stuff like that. And so my character was like, right, I'm going to go find some help, and stumbles upon my friend's character, Ethan, who is just an asshole and also a twink at the beginning.
Just the most asshole-ish twink you've ever met in your life.
He's beautiful and a dick. And Cyrus is like, please help me. My town's dying. And he goes, oh, fine, but only because I'm old and bored and you're the most interesting thing that's happened in the last 500 years. And it's actually through Cyrus showing, because they're extremely stubborn and they're a very determined and very defiant person, like almost kind of to a fault, which definitely ties into their identity a lot, because I think coming out and being trans is a defiance in and of itself. It's a big fuck you to anybody who disagrees, and also a big fuck you to anybody who believes that, you know, you have to stay the same way your whole life. But that's me tangentialing off of roleplay, and that's not what I'm here to do. But yeah, so essentially these two characters meet, and Ethan discovers who Cyrus is inside, past like their female shell, and sort of falls for them. And when he brings up transfiguration, Cyrus is like, please teach me. And he's like, why? And Cyrus just kind of like clams up about it, like they don't really know how to explain. And you sort of fast forward a few weeks, and Ethan stumbles upon basically like this trans Bible that Cyrus has written about how they're gonna learn transfiguration all by themselves, and they're gonna, you know, change themselves, and but it's gonna take years and years and years of studying. And Ethan, the absolute gem that he is, he's like, I'm not gonna make you wait, like I'll just change you. And Cyrus kind of dies a little bit, because like, what the fuck, this guy is being nice all of a sudden. And Ethan and Cyrus actually really start to bond as they work together to wipe out these bishops, because I forgot to mention, the bishops actually do kind of pose a threat to Ethan as well, because they're looking to start like basically ethnically cleanse anybody who doesn't agree with the religion, which is very historically accurate, if you ask me.
Oh god, yes, we've done it plenty of times.
Yes, they have this really scary like crystal that's usually gifted to like a champion of a god of some kind, but they've stolen it from a god, and they're looking to basically learn how to use it for its, you know, evil purposes, one might say. And so Ethan is like, fuck, I have to care about this as well. And it's actually through them working together and him not only teaching Cyrus magic, but also them learning magic together and how to work together, has actually, you know, made them bond and made them fall in love. And, you know, Ethan actually goes on a little gender journey himself, because he realizes like, oh, maybe I actually like wearing dresses and heels sometimes. And Cyrus post-transition gets to like coach him through that journey as well, and like, it's just, they have a really beautiful bond, and it's been so healing for what my perception of gender and storytelling was, because I sort of kind of started to believe that I was overreacting when people would be shitty towards my characters. Like, I'd be like, oh, maybe this is just too much of an ask from Reddit, maybe I just need to sort of hang my coat up and just sort of like forget this hobby altogether, because like 9 times out of 10 that's the reaction I would get. And then here comes Triss with a brand new Reddit account and is just like, anybody look at the roleplay? And like, the fact that I almost didn't message her that night is crazy to me. Like, she's changed the hobby so much, and like, I genuinely think that her and I are going to be like, you know, long-term friends now, because of how much this story has not like not only changed my hobby and like my life, but also like, she's just the best. She literally went to Japan recently and bought me and my little sister, who she hasn't met, by the way, fuck tons of shit from Japan, and just sent it to us and was like, here's just like a gift for being cool.
Is so sweet.
Triss is a sweetheart. She's the human being ever. If you end up listening to this episode, Triss, shout out to you. You're the best. You have the best characters ever. Genuinely, she's healed my opinion of having trans characters and stuff. And I think it's diamonds in the rough like her that definitely give roleplaying a good name.
No, for sure. Because like, I've had plenty of experiences where like things have happened, right? And it's like just killed my love for it. And like, I'll leave. Matter of fact, that's what happened recently. That's the reason why I stopped doing episodes. That's the reason why I stopped doing a whole bunch of stuff. Like, things happened, and it just killed my love for the thing. And it took long time friends of mine who I've been role playing for years and years and years at this point to like pull me back and be like, hey, I want to have a scene. Do you want to do a scene? And that will make me feel just so much better. And then
it reminds me of to like why I started the core role players guild in the first place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm, it's really good to have people like that that can like kind of reignite your love for something. Like, and I think honestly, Triss has been a big one for that for me as well, only because I used to role play with my ex-fiance. But obviously, life happens and people can become pretty shitty after a long period of time when they don't fix things about themselves. And so I lost that connection with her, because I think role playing with a lover especially is such an intense writing bond. Like, when you realize that your lore is completely intertwined, it's almost like a divorce. Like, your characters are your kids and like they're divorcing, and it's like the family's like, it's like split custody. It fucking sucks.
Like,
it took me literally like a few days to rewrite my Star Wars character Cid's lore, because of like my ex-fiance's characters were so intertwined with them that it took quite a long time for me to actually like find write-arounds. So yeah, I think it's really awesome when you find people who can like heal that hobby and definitely like bring the spark back. I think that's definitely needed.
Sorry, my son thought that that was a perfect time to come and show me a meme.
Was that a good meme?
It was a pretty good meme, yeah, I'll admit. It was pretty cool. These newfangled kids and their memes, they know what they're doing, I guess. I didn't.
Yeah, they know the sauce.
I did not understand it. It was something about Minecraft, and then dogs started dancing. I don't know.
I'm sure it's absolutely hilarious for their generation.
I recently had, I get where you're coming from, because like I had a I had a friend, we were role playing, our characters got together, like we did this all this stuff, and like I found out that there was some shit being said about me behind the scenes, right?
Oh god.
Yeah, that's essentially what killed my love for the role play. But for a second, when all this stuff started happening, they just decided to retire their character, right? They were just done with their character. And you can't stop someone from retiring a character. You cannot make someone keep role-playing with you. That's not how role-play works. Her character just left, right? And I felt like I was just sort of like in this weird dark void of like, wow, everything was perfect. Like maybe 3 days ago.
Yeah, no, I so relate to that.
And like all this shit happened. But anyways, I'm not trying to, what I'm trying to say is I completely understand what it's like to have all this stuff built up and then just like suddenly taken away. And you're like, God damn it.
Oh, totally. Like, do you know what? It's so funny you mentioned that, because I'm literally going through that right now. So you get my pain, because the Star Wars character I've been talking about, Cid Azul, their wife's fucking writer has just disappeared. And she has a really bad habit of like going on hiatus for a really long time without telling me. And then she'll like pop back in and be like, okay, I'm back to writing. And then we'll give like two replies and just disappear again. And it's really, really sad, because Cid's story is literally the most fleshed out I've ever had. Like, they literally, like, they have a future kid. They construct like a stronghold on their home planet to like fight the hot cartel. They like bomb a hot palace. There's so much shit still to happen. And she's just gone. And Cid might actually need to get benched, which is really, really sad. So I totally fucking relate to that pain. It's almost like you're mourning a death. Honestly,
the story is over. It's like practically over at this point. Like, there's nothing keeping it going. You know what I mean? And again, it's not like you can't be upset at your friend for going off and doing things, right? Like, life happens, shit happens, and you can't stop and force anybody to keep going with you. But there is this deep, sad feeling when a story is just over, man. Like, it's just done, and it sucks, because you look back and you had like all these fond memories, and you built a friendship out of character, and you built the friendship in character, and it was awesome, and now it's over, and that sucks.
Literally, like, especially when you have unfinished business where someone retires a character before the story's over, it's honestly heartbreaking. Like, I'm genuinely half tempted to ask my friend if I can have like the character rights for her character just so that I can keep writing with her, because like Viz Nopalin is a fucking awesome character. She is the best, and she's so suited for Cid, and it would be awesome if I could keep writing with her so that I can at least like put Cid's story pen to paper, bare minimum, so it's somewhere. But I don't know, she comes in and out, so it's hard to know. But I am not ready for when me and Triss's story ends. That's gonna be like I'm gonna have to book a week off work for emotional damage. Genuinely, I am going to have to like be excommunicado, like, right, I'm gonna go and rot in bed for a week, because what do I do now?
Man, when the role play is too good, it's too good.
Genuinely, it's a problem. But again, I think it all circles back to like, and again, I'm gonna be very like, you know, cheesy and spiritual here, but I think it's the old adage of like, you know, good things never last, and I think when something hurts when you lose it, I think it was worth having in the first place. Do you know what I mean? And I already know that I'm not even done with the first act of Cyrith and Aethon's story, but I already know it's gonna fucking sting. It's gonna suck. I'm not prepared.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, you said you started an Invader Zim roleplay.
Yes.
I'm not laughing at you. I promise.
Sure.
I really think I'm thinking about that one scene in Invader Zim where the scientist, I forget his name, he's like, "No one's more excited than me." And some guy in the crowd goes, "I am." And then he just appears with his finger in the face, going, "Not scientifically possible." And that's making me laugh. I'm sorry.
No, you're so right.
What was the interest in what happened to cause the interest in getting into roleplay? Do you remember that?
Oh God, it's so hard to remember because again, it was like 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah, and you've been doing it so much now.
yeah. Like I mean, shit, I write every single day, without fail. I think me and Triss's story, I've skipped maybe 2 days maximum in 3 months. But I think the initial interest was just because I do like sort of long form text role play now, but I used to do it like dialogue per dialogue. So it'd be very fast. Like every 5 minutes you would type like your character's response and maybe some stage directions and then send that. Mm-hmm. So it's like a few sentences. So
like MMO role playing basically.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So I think the interest just sort of started because the person who spoke to me when I was uploading my really cringe, like self-shipping the Vader Zim art. I can't believe this is going online. This is going to be part of my fucking digital footprint forever. But this person hit me up in DMs and was like, "Oh, I love your OC idea." It was a bad idea. But, you know, she loved it, so fair enough. And she was like, "Have you ever heard of," like, she basically just straight up was like, "Have you ever heard of roleplay?" And I was like, "No, but it sounds kind of fun." And I used to do a form of role playing that I do not do anymore because it's like not fun for me. But so some people do something called doubling, especially on Reddit when you do romance role play, where you would play a canon XOC. So you would play your character's canonical crush for their OC, and then they would play your canonical crush for your OC. So it's like you're getting to actually bring your self-shipping fanfics to life because someone else is actually playing your canonical crush.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I did doubling roleplay for a while because I had, because the scientist you bring up, I had a massive crush on his son in the show. Dib Membrane. So my character was paired with him. And then I would play, I think I was actually playing Dib's sister for the other person, which is like a mind fuck of a dynamic to play. But yeah, so that's kind of how it all started. I also dabbled in Warrior Cats roleplay. I think I was a Firestar role player because I just had to be the main character at the time. I also had this really cringy OC for that as well, because like I've not been a self-shipper since I was a teenage girl, which I think is, you know, valid that I left that behind. I think that's teenage girl behavior, which is completely valid and fine. I'm just not that anymore. I'm a 25-year-old man. I gotta, you know, make an OC and stop being cringe.
Yeah, right.
But Yeah, I've been sort of an OC role player for quite a while. I really enjoy like seeing a universe I love and then just like making a character for it, especially for Star Wars. Like, I think it's silly to not make an OC for Star Wars because the universe is so massive, you might as well.
It's so vast. It's like, it's so wild like what you could do in Star Wars, man. Like, one of my favorite characters is from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
So his name was, oh God, you're about to learn how cringy I am. His name was Krisk Starkiller, because I took Starkiller from the older Star, Star Tempest, I'm sorry. So Krisk Startempest was a Trandoshan Sith, all right?
Okay.
But amazing, he had wanted to leave, like, you know, the dark side, and he did not believe that killing somebody using a light force was honorable at all. Like, he hated it. So what he had was this, and I'm still not over this to this day, everybody. This is a like a 15-year-old character. I'm still in love with it, by the way. He had a Tonfa lightsaber. So he only used his lightsaber to block, and then he would just punch everything.
Oh my God, I fucking love that though.
Yeah, and his punch did, I remember that we were rolling damage and stuff like that, and I hit one of the people so bad, the DM goes, my God, you do more damage than a lightsaber can do. And I'm like, the power, man.
No, I fucking love that, though. Like, that's, oh my God, I love that. Like, that's what makes Star Wars roleplay fun, is when you make, like, semi-goofy characters like that.
I think Krisk was the reason I like to roleplay reptilian characters. I don't know what it is. I just like reptiles and lizards, man. Like, my character in Elder Scrolls Online, her name is Runs with Calipers, and Argonian. Argonian. I'll send you a picture of her in a minute. I love her to death. Anyways, I forgot. What were you ranting about? I'm sorry. I drove us off.
No. I'm loving this tangent, honestly. Please tell me about your Argonian.
Oh God. She's tries to be more elegant than she actually is.
Love that.
Yeah. I don't know why. I was like, I just like that idea for some reason. And everyone else seems to like her, so hooray, hooray, hooray.
Hell yeah. And honestly, I fucking like Trandoshan Sith is such a wonderfully like controversial choice. I fucking love that. Because like, especially like the Reddit community for Star Wars roleplay, they would like chew someone out for doing that, which is really annoying. Because they're like, it's not lore accurate. Aliens as Sith like never happens, which is fucking a lie, first of all.
Wait, aliens Sith aren't a what?
Yeah, they're like, like aliens aren't very commonly Sith. And even if they are, they're humanoid. And it's like, come on. Get an imagination.
Okay, it's for me and who are the fuck I want to roleplay with. Like, what the fuck does it matter to you?
Literally. Oh my God, it's such a fucking pain. And like, this is actually an issue that I want to bring up with Sith characters, if that's okay, just really quickly.
Oh, go ahead.
So circling back to like how painful it is to roleplay, just I think it's a minority in general on Reddit. But I can only speak for trans experiences, of course. But people love cosplaying as fascists when they play as Sith, and they think that that's just like part of the fucking character. Like they'll say something, like they'll hurl like a slur at your character in universe or IRL, and then when you pull them up for it, they're like, "Oh, but I'm playing an evil Sith. Like that's what Sith would do." And it's like, like, so you just want to play a fascist? If you want to play a fascist, go fucking do a Nazi roleplay. Like, get out of my fucking roleplay space. Like, it's so fucking heinous to me that so many people do that with Sith characters, because they think that being evil equals fascism. And one thing I will say, obviously, of course, there are sort of, like, slight fascist symbolism when it comes to like how Palpatine and like the, you know, the Darth Vader and like the stormtroopers are actually like the actual order that goes after destroying all the Jedi. Obviously there are themes of sort of fascist marching patterns and stuff like that, but that's not a requirement to be a fucking Sith. I'm sorry, but it's not. It's one thing having like fascist nods in a movie and you playing a fascist. Those are two very big fucking different things. Mm-hmm. And it's something that really bothers me in Sith Reddit roleplay, because it happens so frequently. Like, most of my bad experiences with playing trans characters have been with Sith characters pretending to be evil and actually just being racist or homophobic or transphobic or whatever.
Or some shit like that. Yeah, that's a little weird. That reminds me of like a lot of the racist elf trope, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh my god, yes.
And I'm like I okay, so I'm not gonna call you someone shitty for role playing a quote unquote racist character, right? Like someone can have character development, like that can be a part of the story and not be an actual reflection of the player role playing the character. Mm-hmm. But like, why so many people do it is weird to me.
And like, also I think there's, because the big issue in that conversation I think is nuance, and that is something that very very few fucking role players actually have. Like, I think you're right. I think there is room for redemption and growth in a character. Mm-hmm. And I think there definitely is room for change. But like, when they make it the whole crux of the character, and when they make it
right,
and when they make it the first impression as well, I don't think that when you're playing a racist character, quote unquote, in story, you shouldn't include IRL slurs and IRL actual like phobias that exist. Like, I think it's ridiculous if someone would be, for example, because I've heard, like, my ex-fiance was a person of color, and in her experiences playing, like, black characters, she experienced racism in Star Wars. Like, do you really think a Trandoshan is going to be racist about a black human being? Like, that's just not, that doesn't exist. And
no, he would not like them because they don't have scales, goddamn, no.
Exactly. It's because they're human, not because of what fucking, like, color they are. So
where's your goddamn scales at?
Exactly. Like, I think that's the big difference, is like keeping actual IRL racism out of it. If you're gonna play in universes like Star Wars or fantasy, because that's been like the main topic of conversation for my episode. But I think including, like, again, IRL phobias and whatnot is just fucking stupid. And that's where my anger lies. Whenever I'm talking about like those really sort of phobic Sith role players, is that they bring IRL issues into Star Wars, when it's like, you're just looking for an excuse to say the shitty things that you wouldn't say in real life, right. And you think you're going to get away with it because you're behind a keyboard and you're behind a character, but it's just not true. Like in my Reddit ads, I've actually had to add a TOS disclaimer where I'm like, if you have a question about trans identities, Google is your friend, smiley face, because if I don't include that, then out of character and in character, I just get asked really stupid fucking questions. And it's like, you have a tiny computer, you're role playing on a tiny computer right now, or a normal sized computer, and you're asking me. Anyway, I don't want to circle back to that too much. That is a big gripe I have with Sith characters, is people not having enough nuance with them if they're going to play them like that, if that makes sense.
No, I get you. I totally get you. Tell me about your, unfortunately, we are getting close to our hour mark, and that is where I have to cut
already?
It.
Already?
Oh, yeah, damn. I know. How much fun have we been having?
Oh, genuinely.
Tell me about your friends, because you talked a lot about your friends. Do you think they'd be cool with me? You think they'd be cool with me?
I think they would. You're awesome. You're very chill.
Awesome. Awesome. That's all I want to know. I'm joking. So you did Star Wars MMO role-playing, right? Did you do MMO role-playing in any other game?
I very briefly dabbled in Warcraft for like a few weeks. I was a few weeks? Yeah.
A few weeks.
Not long at all. I was a Tauren Druid. I was like 17. And I played this like big bull man. I do not remember a lot about Warcraft. I did like a few quests and like roleplay with a few folks, and then it just like fell off, which is so sad because I've heard a lot of good things about WoW. But yeah, that's the only other MMO. Oh, I did play ESO on console for a year actually.
Did you roleplay on that one, or did you just like?
Yeah, I literally used my Xbox controller to type out like replies. It would take me fucking forever.
Wow.
For a whole year as well. That's fucking dedication. I'll never be that dedicated ever again.
Man, how is your... That is some wild dedication. I have unfortunately gotten into the habit of turning on timestamps for my for my chat box. And if I do not reply fast enough, I beat myself up over it.
I was making people wait for my response.
Oh man, how long did it take you? Like really? Like give me a number of some kind.
Honestly, I want to say, because again, you know MMO where it's like just kind of like dialogue. Like it's not like you're not writing big massive fucking like descriptors. I want to say a good 10 to 15 minutes per response.
Oh wow. Dude, yeah, your character going to a bar and ordering a drink would take a whole ass hour.
This is why I only did it for a year. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
A year of that? Oh, man.
I played a white tiger Khajiit.
Did you at all ever think to yourself, maybe I should go get a keyboard?
I was 16, 17 years old and not only smooth-brained, but I didn't have a lot of money. So I was like, you know what? I'll just huff my copium. I'm dedicated to the grind.
Oh, man. I used to dumpster dive. I think my first computer, I dumpster dived all the parts.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Like, I think I just, like, picked up computers being thrown out. Mm-hmm. And I just went home and put everything together until something worked. And that was my first computer.
Oh, my God. I love that. That's actually sick. Maybe I'll take a page out of your book.
Oh man, it was rough, dog. Let me tell you, WoW did not run well on that.
Oh God, but I mean, hey, if anything's dedication is dumpster diving for computer parts, that's resourceful. Man.
I think that's one of the reasons why I got into role playing in in World of Warcraft in the first place, is because my computer was so shitty. All I could really do is just kind of like do like the bare minimum thing. Right, like I couldn't do dungeons, I couldn't do raids, I couldn't do anything with a large group of people. But if like I went to like the roleplay area, I didn't have to really move around, I could just roleplay, and that's how I got into that.
Honestly, like fair enough. I respect that is dedication.
God, oh man, that's a memory that should have stayed buried. I'm sorry. My first character was horrible. I don't know about yours, but man, my first character sucked. It was bad.
I think that's a rite of passage when making characters. Like, your first one always sucks. Mine was like a Sonic the Hedgehog fan character.
Oh, hell yeah. Your OC, you have a Sonic OC?
I have multiple, but my original was Zacharias the Hedge Fox. He was a hybrid, because of course he was. And I made him when I was like 8 years old.
Oh god, I don't have a Sonic OC. I should make a Sonic OC.
Yeah, you should get on that. They're very fun to make.
You know what? For this last like 7 minutes we have left, help me make a Sonic OC real quick.
Oh god, okay.
Do they have bats in Sonic the Hedgehog? Are bats?
They do indeed.
Oh, they fuck do. Yeah, let's make him a bat.
Okay, so we've got your base. What's your favorite like color, and like what's your second favorite color?
Okay, so my favorite color is orange, right? Well, specifically, traffic cone orange. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, bold choice.
And my second favorite color. Actually, hold on. Hey, JJ, what's your favorite color, buddy? He said all of the colors.
All of the colors. Okay, so I get that. We're spoiled for choice. I think because what I did with my character is I did like my first and second favorite colors, and I made like the second favorite color the accent. So like you have the base color is like traffic cone orange in this case, and then like just sort of pick like a good accent for them for their markings. I think black goes kind of hard.
Yeah, orange, let's black. Do black. Orange black. Yeah, let's do orange black.
So we've got an orange and black bat. What do you think his like quote unquote class should be?
Oh, his class? I don't know.
It's like you've got like freedom fighters, you've got engineers, you've got like people who are just like baristas, I guess. Like the Sonic universe is massive, so it could be anything you want, really.
Barista.
There's gotta be barista hedgehogs. There's gotta be. I'm looking that up. Barista.
I don't know. Yeah, let's do barista.
Fuck yeah, barista bat.
I'm sorry, everyone listening to this who has checked out. I'm sorry.
No way! There is actually a human barista in the Sonic the Hedgehog official movie prequel comic.
Oh.
There are baristas in Sonic. We've cracked the case.
All right.
So yeah, we've got an orange and black bat who's a barista. I think they make bomb lattes.
His name has to be super generic. Like, hold on, I shouldn't say that, because now whatever name we pick, it's going to be upsetting.
Yeah, are we going to offend baristas with this one, saying that we have they have bland names?
Are there any baristas named Todd out there who are going to be mad at me if I name him Todd?
No, but here's the thing, if you get art of this character, right, and then there's a barista out there called Todd, and they go, oh, what's my Sonic the Hedgehog OC? They'll type it into Google, and they'll see this really cool bat. Because fun fact, everyone has a Sonic the Hedgehog character that's named after them. If you type in your name, the Hedgehog art, you'll find an OC with your name.
Hold on, I'm doing this right now. If guaranteed. You're at home, if you're driving, don't stop driving. But yeah. Everyone else, Google
this right now. Google it right now.
Dustin the Hedgehog. Oh my god! Oh no, there's a whole ass Instagram. Oh no, this is actual animals. No, these are actual animals. Hell yeah! I'm actually looking at pictures of hedgehogs and bunnies. Of hedgehogs and real bunnies. Fuck yeah! I'm okay with that. Yeah, that's my OC right there.
Mine comes up as like multiple different, like, because my name's Connor, so there's like, it's all Sonic the Hedgehog fan art.
No, there are certainly some OCs here named after me, and they are pretty interesting. So,
oh god, I love passing on that little tidbit to people.
And I think that is going to be our episode, because
one note to end on.
So if you enjoyed your OC with your main name OC,
make sure to leave a like and a comment.
Make sure to leave a like and a comment. 5 stars. Oh god, it's good to be back. Thank you for coming on, Connor. I really appreciate you.
Of course, thank you so much for having me. I've genuinely had a blast. This has been amazing.
This has been a lot of fun.